It's Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Adam, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Andy. How you doing, man?
So far, so good. And, you know, we're going to hit on a few different topics today. Obviously, we want to come back around to this weekend's NFL slate with a lot of great playoff games coming our way. But there was something that you posted on the site a little bit earlier this week talking about some over-under numbers on MLB win totals for the 2019 season. I thought that was pretty interesting, especially since there are a lot of free agents that are still out there that could certainly affect some of these numbers. And, you know, you had thrown a few of these numbers at me a little earlier today. There were a couple that kind of surprised me just taking a look at the screenshot that you sent me. And I thought, wow, that's a little bit bizarre that some of these numbers are where they're at. You know, I think everybody here locally interested to hear where the Indians are right now, 91.5. I think if you look at a team like the Mariners, I thought, boy, with all they lost, 72.5? That seemed like a little bit high to you?
Well, the Mariners are one that has gone down a little bit. They opened 74.5 on the over-under. Now they're at 72.5. So the early people hitting these numbers do agree with you there that, you know, this is a Mariners team that appears to be, you know, in pretty full-fledged rebuilding mode right now. And, you know, being out there in the American League West with an Angels team that should be better, an Astros team that's very, very good, an Oakland Athletics team that was very good last season as well, and a Texas team that may be better. I don't know. I still don't think Texas is very good. But, you know, I mean, hey, somebody has to lose in these divisions where you've got three pretty good teams, and looks like the Mariners probably will end up being that team.
What do you think about the Tribe at 91.5 right now? Obviously, there's still some work to be done with that team, but playing in the division that they play in, unless the White Sox do something crazy in free agency, what do you think about that 91.5 for the Tribe?
I mean, it's a tough number, I think, honestly. And, you know, 91.5, I mean, they kind of coasted for most of the season last year and still wound up getting around that number. Of course, the problem this year is that the Twins look a lot better. The White Sox probably won't lose 100 games again. The Royals still aren't very good, and the Tigers aren't all that great either. But, you know, I think when I looked this up previously, don't quote me on this, but I think the Indians play 115 of their 162 games this year against teams that had losing records last season. And, of course, that would include all 76 division games that they play. So, you know, I think it's a pretty good number. I think right now, given how the offense looks, I would probably lean towards the under a little bit there. But, you know, hey, still a month until spring training and, you know, really 2.5 months until we get this thing going.
Yeah, and I think that's what we continue to say on the show over and over and over again, because what they've done on paper has been a bit underwhelming. But, again, there's still plenty of time left for them to make some moves. Again, Adam Burke, BangTheBook.com, Bang the Book Radio, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, well, let's get into this NFL slate, my friend. There's a lot to dive into, some really interesting matchups. And, well, looking at some of these lines, and I want to get into some of these props I know that have been discussed as well, but looking at the line for some of these games, a lot of people, I think, at least early on, were jumping on the Chargers, who were getting 4, having to go to Foxborough. A lot of people are thinking that the Patriots are just about at the end of their run, but boy, I don't know. I think it's just very difficult to go against the Patriots, even though they are giving 4 points to the Chargers. The only thing that makes me a little bit nervous about this also is the fact that the Chargers had to go across the country last weekend to take care of business against Baltimore, fly back to San Diego. Now they're going all the way back across the country again. What are your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, and really when you think about it, this is a third straight road game for the Chargers, who played in Denver in Week 17. And, you know, I mentioned this on a video I did for our Bang the Book YouTube page today that, you know, the Chargers have been playing basically playoff games for the last little while because, you know, they were trying to get that division. They were trying to get that bye week here and, you know, play their first game in the divisional round. Didn't work out for them because Kansas City wound up winning the AFC West. But the Chargers have been playing a lot of high-octane football in a pretty short amount of time here. And even though New England's not the same, you know, I feel like they're just in so much better of a position here from a health standpoint, from a, you know, not having to play balls to the wall each of the last 6-7 weeks. I feel like they're in a much better spot here. The reason this line has moved down, though, is that when you look at the betting markets nowadays, and this is a lot different than it used to be a few years ago, the modeling crowd, the quant crowd, the really analytics-driven crowd, is the group that really pushes these lines around and moves them around a lot. And the Chargers were talked about during the season as quite possibly being the best team in the NFL when they were fully healthy. Now, they're not completely 100% here, but there are a lot of numbers guys out there that really, really like the Chargers, and the Patriots were underwhelming this season. So I think you kind of have a bit of an old school versus new school handicap here, where the traditional handicappers are going to say, look, it's Brady and Belichick. They're at home. They're in the playoffs. You know, they have the bye week. And then you've got the people who are like, well, you know, the Chargers are just the better team, which is probably accurate. But yet, I would still take New England in this spot because the Chargers are in such a tough situation.
And it's always difficult to beat the Patriots in Foxborough this time of the year. The crazy thing, too, one of the reasons why the Patriots have been as successful as they've been, they've not really had to leave Foxborough in January very often either. But there's something to be said for that. Well, and then the Chiefs. Well, I always look at these top seeds, and it's interesting to me how things drastically change. I mean, here are the Chiefs are as the top seed. The last I had looked, the line was 5.5 against the Colts. I always cringe when I look at a line like that because a lot of people are looking at that, thinking about how well the Colts played, especially defensively last week, and how they could really make things interesting in Arrowhead.
Yeah, I mean, this is a game where, at least from a pregame standpoint, I wouldn't bet this thing with somebody else's money. It's such a high-variance game here, I think, because you've got a total of 57, which correctly implies that this game could be a shootout. I mean, you've got Andrew Luck in a very potent Indianapolis offense. We all know what Patrick Mahomes did during the season. The bye week definitely helped Tyreek Hill, who was very clearly hurt. Travis Kelce, who wasn't as explosive late in the year. You know, a week off definitely helps him as well. So I think this is a game, maybe this is a last team with the ball wins kind of game. Maybe this is, you know, if Indianapolis is +2 in turnover margin and gets a couple extra possessions, they win. If Kansas City's +2 in turnover margin, maybe they win and cover. So this is a very high variance game to me. The one thing that does stand out about this game is that Indianapolis, to sort of segue into your prop betting discussion here, Indianapolis was the worst team in the NFL covering tight ends this year, and by a large margin. I think they gave up about 170 more yards than anybody else. Tight ends were 106 out of 133 on targets. So Travis Kelce could really eat in this game. And the Chiefs have been very good against zone defenses. Indianapolis plays a lot of zone. If I had to do something, I would take Kansas City. But I think for those that have access to in-game wagering, or second half wagering, wait and see how this thing sets up. Because for Indianapolis, this isn't being talked about because they're not going cross country. Their third straight road game here as well. So maybe chasing this Kansas City offense around leads to some fatigue in the second half.
I also heard the other day that Andy Reid has been miserable in the playoffs, especially in his entire tenure with the Chiefs, but he has not been good in the postseason the last 9 years. So something to be said for that as well. And we'll get to the prop bets as well. We'll hit quickly on these two NFC matchups. The Rams are giving 7 to the Cowboys on Saturday. And then on Sunday, well, anytime I see a playoff game and the spread's more than a touchdown, Saints are giving 8 to the defending champion Eagles, who kind of doinked their way into this game last week against the Bears. You like one of those games over the other?
Yeah, I mean, I think I like the Rams a little bit. I just feel like, you know, there's a pretty big coaching advantage here for the Rams, and there should have been one last week for Seattle, but offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer called a terrible game and really gave away that coaching advantage that Seattle should have had. You know, the Rams here, I mean, look, I load the box and I make Dak Prescott beat me. And if Dak Prescott beats me, so be it. It is what it is. And I think a guy like Wade Phillips, you know, should be savvy enough to figure that out here. And I think Sean McVay, you know, who was the offensive coordinator for the Redskins for 3 years, should be able to game plan pretty well for this Dallas defense. The personnel has changed a little bit. The scheme for Rod Marinelli really hasn't. So I think the Rams should move the football. I think they should come out aggressive. I think last year they were a little bit too passive in the playoffs in that game against the Falcons. So I think they kind of, you know, look to start hot here. And if they can do that, if they can have success and maybe be ahead 14-0, or 14-3, something like that, you take Ezekiel Elliott out of this game from a running the football standpoint, turn him into more of a receiver and a pass blocker, I think that plays to the Rams' advantage all day long. So I do like the Rams a little bit here, and you know, I would say that's second to liking New England in terms of the sides for these games.
You mentioned some of those props for these games this weekend. You know, what are some of those that kind of come to mind that you might like to play this weekend?
I mean, I think for the Rams, you know, one of the important things for them is going to be getting Todd Gurley going. I mean, he's their best offensive player ever since Cooper Kupp went out. Jared Goff just really hasn't been the same guy. So I don't think you want to put this game in Jared Goff's hands. And you've got a healthier offensive line now for the Rams. They had three key injuries down the stretch in the regular season. All three of those guys should be back for this game. So I think Todd Gurley gets a very steady diet of work. You know, this is why you sort of, you know, space out and kind of pace a guy like Todd Gurley to have him here for these three games that you need to win to get that Lombardi trophy. So I think the Rams use him a lot. I think New Orleans uses Mark Ingram a lot against Philadelphia as well, because I think the expectation here from Jim Schwartz and the Eagles defense is going to be, we need to help out this secondary as much as we can because we've got so many injuries. So they probably play some more zone with the linebackers, maybe rush some trying to get to the passer. I think that opens up running lanes for Mark Ingram and the Saints, and you know, maybe Alvin Kamara to a degree as well. But I think the two NFC favorites here are going to rely heavily on running the football and look to play from in front. So I think the two running backs, Gurley and Ingram, could have big days.
Now, as the NFL winds down, Saturday's become pretty interesting if you're a fan of college basketball. And yesterday, you wrote an article talking about how to bet college basketball's big Saturday cards. And now that we're in full-bore conference play the next couple of months here, that makes Saturdays really interesting. And I wanted to give you a chance here to kind of explain and expand on your work here, because you made some pretty interesting points here about how to go about betting these big Saturday cards.
Yeah, these Saturday cards are incredible now. And in fact, this is an article I wrote last year. I do need to do some edits and kind of update it a little bit to the present, because now a lot of really small conferences, the Atlantic Sun, the Big South, you know, some of those that aren't lined until conference tournament time are being lined. So you pretty much have to know all of the teams and all of the conferences now. But, you know, this is a time of year where, as you said, without college football, you get a lot of people getting into the college basketball market, and they're really not sure what they're doing because they haven't been paying attention up to this point in the season. So they're going to go out there and play the Dukes. They're going to play the Michigan State. They're going to play the Kansases and the Gonzagas and North Carolinas and all that type of stuff. And the sports books know that. They are very fully aware of everything that's going on right now. And they know that a lot more money that is, you know, a little bit less advanced is going to be out there in the betting market. So if you want to bet those big name brand teams, you're going to pay a little bit of a premium for them. So I think that you want to, you know, try to look to avoid those really marquee blue blood types of teams. I think another thing too, and you know, obviously in this area we're talking about the Horizon League and the MAC and you know, some of those other nearby conferences, stick to what you know. You know, if you know MAC basketball, stick to MAC basketball. Don't go trying to play the SEC or the ACC or something like that if you're not as up to date on those teams. I think conference specialization is a very, very important thing. We were talking about 353 Division I teams.
Yes, I think bingo. That's exactly it there. Stick to what you know. Don't bet on games you don't know much about, and you're just kind of rolling the ball out there, so to speak, which I know a lot of guys have a tendency of doing. Adam, this is a blast, man. Always appreciate you making some time for us here on Friday. Have a good weekend, my friend, and we'll have you on again next week.
Absolutely, man. Take care.